and say hi to David Lippman. Wanted to have David on because I think it was last week that the Mackinac Center had a clip that was on their website, and I played a little piece of it for you about David's predictions. He's a senior economist at the Mackinac Center about what unemployment may very easily be in Michigan by the end of the year, and those numbers were stunning. If you weren't listening, I'm going to let David describe it a little further with us here. Good morning, David. How are you?
Morning, Greg. Just doing fine. Thank you.
I appreciate you spending some time with us today. Man, you had a startling prediction, and I just the more I thought about it, the more I thought that does more than a soundbite. But let me go ahead and let you do the Noah Webster definition of what I'm talking about.
Well, unfortunately, for the last 12 months, I have been spot on with the increases that I predicted, double digit and up to 12% by mid-year. Of course, we're at almost 13% right now. So if anything, I've been on the conservative side. My forecast is by this year end, Michigan will have, again, the highest unemployment rate in the nation at somewhere between 17 and 20%. We're on course for that. That doesn't even count, by the way. It's an understatement because it doesn't count the underemployment, the discouraged workers, the out-migration, and all the attendant factors to a lousy work, private sector because of the business climate in the state of Michigan.
David, expand on that just for a second, because I've been upset about that ever since Bill Clinton changed the numbers, how he counted the numbers, that basically the only people who are counted now are people who are currently drawing unemployment from the system. That's just frustrating beyond belief.
Yes, and they're still in the workforce, so, they are counted as unemployed. But, there are a lot of people in the state who are desperate. They'll take work anywhere. They're underemployed compared to their skills, their training, their, capital investment in themselves. And that's just as much of a story when you really talk about unemployment as anything. Then there are others who have looked for a long time in the state of Michigan. They've dropped out, or they've sought greener pastures elsewhere. And, of course, now with the national recession, they're back in Michigan. They can't get out of Michigan either because they can't sell their homes, or there are no comparable jobs elsewhere. So they also will be counted in Michigan's unemployment one way or another.
Now, with that in mind, so what would be at a 20% unemployment? Let's use the worst-case scenario you named. At a 20% unemployment, what is a guesstimate you might have of the worst-case true unemployment in the state with something like that?
It'll keep rising. The reason it will keep rising, Greg, is because even if the U.S. economy were to turn up, it will not turn up strongly enough for long enough for employers to have confidence that they can acquire a new hiree at a price that will pay. In order to really have the confidence that you can bring a new employee on and pay the attendant benefits and wages, you have to know the economy of the U.S. is going to increase for a matter of years, not a matter of months.
No, matter of years is not a good thing to hear, because I know everybody and their uncle keeps thinking this thing's going to turn around. And I'm hearing a lot of cautious optimism here in the north about tourism issues and so forth. I mean, we're seeing some increased traffic at the Mackinac Bridge. Everybody's sitting there saying, well, all this could mean. I'm hearing that the hotel, room rates are not rates, rather, but bookings are up a little bit. And so everybody's crossing their fingers on that one.
Well, if the price is right, of course, it'll stabilize the bookings, and there might be a little increase because people stay closer to home given the budget constraints. However, if anyone's looking for an increase in the overall economy, they'll be very sorry for that prediction, as U of M has already become. And the reason is, as soon as Obama's tax hikes cut in, it'll cut out the employment prospects for millions of people across the nation.
I've got a feeling that's going to be coming. And nobody wants to hear that kind of comment. I mean, Mr. Obama's not going to raise taxes. He said he wasn't going to raise taxes. I don't see how he can't with the kind of...
He will, because he doesn't really care. As long as they're government employees and, the kind of deficit spending they're doing, they're just acquiring public sector employees at the expense of the private sector. Governor Granholm has already given us a taste of what that means in a state like Michigan. So we'll have more of the same unless policies change. I talk economics. If anybody wants to wear rosy-colored glasses and pretend they're good politicians and follow the party line, that's fine. They can do so. But as an economist, I have to have a great deal more professional integrity than that.
David Lippman, who's a senior economist for the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, chatting about what unemployment in Michigan could be like by the end of the year and so forth. And I saw something that kind of blew my mind, David, and I'd like to get your thoughts on did I read, is it saying what I think it's saying? When Fiat released a statement, I think it was last week, if not the week before, congratulating themselves about their, quote, merger with Chrysler, which is, I think, is more like Daimler-Benz, another buyout. But when they did that, they made a big comment, David, that said, we're very excited that this will either make or save 5,000 jobs. Now, given that Michigan has, I think the count is 29,000 jobs in Chrysler, that doesn't forebode very well in my mind.
No, and of course, it's always what we used to call in banking, betting on the come. You don't do that. Taking your life in your own hands when you make a prediction based on wishful thinking rather than hard facts. So I think Americans have to, including the media, have to really bear down, focus, and call for the reasons why people make these kinds of forecasts. What are you going to do to make sure you're going to have expanded employment? You have to have expanded profits. If you don't have expanded profits, you're not going to make it. You're not going to have expanded profits if you don't have expanded sales. People have to think sequentially, logically, and realistically. Up to this point, the automakers and the policymakers have simply not been thinking realistically, and the people have been hornswoggled and hoodwinked into the belief that there's something out there that's going to be good without the basis for it becoming good.
Why are people falling for that? I mean, and I know that's almost psychology and maybe out of your realm a little bit, but you've seen it. You've seen these kind of ups and downs, at least to an extent before. I mean, I know it's a little different this time, but you've been around for a while, and I know you've kept up with these statistics forever today based on just reading your bio alone. So what do you think the psychology behind that is, at least in your gut reaction?
Well, people tend to project the past for the future, and you can do that if the policies are unchanged and you still have a market system that has its ups and downs, where the downs purge the mistakes that happen, and you get stronger from what we call a learning curve to make a stronger technologically and in terms of prosperity. But we haven't been doing that. We've been a very reckless nation, a very careless people, and you can't assume that the past is prologue. You have to work to make it such. And to the extent we lose our freedoms of choice, and ability to make ourselves employed and fruitfully so, we're going to lose it, and we are losing it. Let me give you one example, Greg. What kind of a nation, I ask you, I ask the audience, what kind of a nation would not drill for its own oil, gas, coal, energy supplies, which is the key to any economic prosperity? The Chinese are doing it. We've cut ourselves off. What kind of a country is so unserious about things that it won't have new refineries built or use nuclear power the way the French do for 80% of its electricity, the Swedes do for the 76% of its electricity? It makes no sense. It's not a country that wants to stay a preeminent economy. And so it's wrong to make these assumptions that somehow next year Michigan will undergo an upturn or the nation will undergo an upturn. If it is an upturn, it'll be so meager, like the Japanese for 17 years, that it will not reemploy the people now laid off.
And the thing is, I'm using that analogy, won't drill for oil in our own resources. I mean, you've got the Cubans, you've got the Chinese, and you've got the Russians sitting there doing it 50 miles off our shore. Those are our beds of oil and pools and so forth, and they're just sucking it up. And the world laughs at us over this kind of thing. I mean, I've talked to too many people that live and operate in foreign nations. We are a laughingstock when it comes to our energy situation, and it's just stunning to see this go on, yet our Congress continues to operate like this. And they know this is going on. I mean, what is there's got to be a real story behind this. Why would they sit there and allow other countries to jump in on and yet not let us do it in our own pool when the other people are sitting there playing in the water?
Well, you're perfectly right. There are billions of people now in the world. China represents a billion and a half. India, another billion and a half. They want to get where the U.S. was economically 80 years ago, maybe 50 years ago. And we don't want to. We want to go back somehow to some prehistoric time economically, thanks to the so-called eco lobbyists, and they're really eco-Marxists. And those policies don't sit well with people like me, but they have the funds to buy off Congress. And Congress is very happy because they're so insulated. Look what their salaries have done. Look what their expansion of staffs have done. Look what their budgets have done. They've never balanced a budget, of course, in their entire lives. They've never worked a day in the private sector, most of them. They've never had to really hire and keep payrolls. So what are their qualifications to tell Chrysler, GM, and the rest of industry, including oil and gas, what to do? They're unqualified, and ethically, they're very compromised. And that's what we're allowing as a reckless nation to guide our futures. It's unacceptable, and you're right. The world laughs at us.
They do indeed. David, I've got to take a news break. Can you hang out for me for a little bit? All right, do appreciate it. David Lippman is the senior economist for the Mackinac Center. We're talking about some of the future plans and what's going to be going on in Michigan, including what we're seeing as far as potential unemployment, especially with Chrysler and GM going down as into some form of bankruptcy.
No, that's very true. On and that doesn't even include what I already figured would be a weaker auto market and further layoffs coming from the Detroit automakers. Suppliers, ancillary industries, whether it's construction, the falling value of retailing, we see the same pattern almost throughout. A year ago, we still saw two kinds of industries that were doing well in Michigan. One was the employer who had a lot of sales as exports. He was tied into the export market, which was very strong. And the second kind was a business that had a lot of his business outside of the state of Michigan. Well, of course, that evaporated with the national recession.
Do you feel like that some of the optimism on the national side is well-founded, or do you think it's going to be rough for everybody, not just in Michigan? What's your gut tell?
No, we're going to have a secondary recession. Given the policies that are out there, we know that once there's a tax increase that, of course, comes at the expense of the private sector, profits, employment, confidence, income. We'll see a slide in late 2010 or earlier into a secondary recession that'll be much worse than what we're experiencing now.
Wow, that's spooky to even think about.
Well, you know, I can't tell you, Greg, how many times people have said over the past 5 years, well, Michigan will turn up, you know, next year. And I kept asking, well, why? I can respect your opinion, but tell me why. Give me a rational reason why. And they never could. It was just unfounded. You have to go back to economics. If you don't have an economic reason why it will happen, it will not happen. And I don't care whether it's a socialist system that they're working on right now in Washington and here in Lansing. You're going to get the same results that Europe had, that Japan had. When you go to a highly centralized market, you hate the markets, you don't like profits, you never mention profits, you just want government to expand. Government is a redistributive function. It's not a creative function. So it has to first eliminate a job by taxing in order to get the resources to create a job in its employment. And people don't understand that fully, but they will.
David, what can we do to clean this mess up? I mean, the power brokers in play that's just going to remain for a while, and we're not going to be able to do any changes until at least 2010, or is there some changes that may be on the horizon this year? I mean, what's your thought?
Well, here are the two policy changes that will improve Michigan's business climate enough for us to leapfrog the competition in other states. First and foremost, at this juncture, Greg, we have to have a right-to-work state. There are 22 other right-to-work states, most of them in the South, a couple in the North, and a lot in the Southwest. These are states that have beaten the pants off of Michigan, eaten our lunch with respect to employment growth, population growth, income growth, and the increase in real estate values. The only thing where we've beaten them is the unemployment rate. That's a dubious distinction. Also, for 30 years now, we've had the highest or the next to highest outbound migration, people moving out of the state. Two-thirds of the moves, of all the moves that United Fan Line documents, have been out moves. Only a third come in. And I don't think that's going the right way, and I think it's going to get worse. So those are the two things. That's one thing is make it a right-to-work state so the incentives are right to have venture capital and human capital come here instead of leave. The second thing is, of course, to return Michigan to, like nine other states, to a state with no income tax, personal income tax. That's the only way you can leave more in people's pockets to expand their businesses, to employ more people, and to, again, attract venture capital. So those are the two most essential reforms that we can make. Without those reforms, again, right-to-work state and the elimination of the income tax, corporate and personal, it can be phased out, not done all at once. But without those two reforms, Michigan will continue to see and be the pocket of poverty in the United States, the sick man of Europe.
There probably is a lot of people that don't know what a right-to-work state truly is. Can you define that?
Yes, all it means is voluntary unionism. That means that unions can't dictate that workers have to pay the dues or join a union as a condition of employment. So it's a voluntary union means you have a choice. If you want to join a union, fine, but you can't force others as a condition of employment to be a member of a union or pay the dues. That's all. It's a freedom. It's a basic choice in the labor market. There, you have your own labor. You should be able to choose and not be coerced or mandated. And to the extent it's a unionized, a closed shop state, we're seeing the results in higher and higher rates of unemployment to protect what? Union jobs, government jobs, at the expense of the private sector, the creative, dynamic private sector. So you pay the consequences.
With that in mind, do you think, though, I mean, the unions have a lot of power in this state. If
they have all the power and they have all the money, and that's why it continues, and that's why it's very difficult to see the reforms at this juncture that would make Michigan a candidate for economic reform or prosperity.
So you don't see it coming anytime in the foreseeable future unless something really changes.
That's correct. Something very dramatic has to change. When people feel enough pain on their body, Greg, they'll change it. They'll change what they can perceive hurts them. Right now, the propaganda out there is to shield the unions, and I think they have to come under very stern critical analysis, not just the private sector unions like the UAW, but obviously the MEA and all of the public sector unions, which at this point have an economic stranglehold over the entire state, and if they're allowed to, we'll have that same stranglehold over the nation.
It certainly looks like that may be the way things are going right now. What can people do about this? I mean, does writing your legislators and the governor and so forth actually make an impact? Because I keep thinking, you were talking about pain and so forth. I keep thinking these current budget cuts that we saw were designed, at least to an extent, to cause the maximum amount of pain and suffering so people throw their hands up and say, no, we'll go ahead and raise our taxes some more.
Well, you're seeing the possibility of reform. I mean, when the citizens of California, every county in California says no more, you know, you guys have been dissolute and you don't know how to balance, but you don't know how to handle fiscal things. You're taking it out of our hide, and they vote against six propositions. Well, that's the kind of thing taxpayers here, working people, have to do. In order to avoid a further dependency, they have to organize. They have to organize and make sure that the politicians know that their jobs are not insulated, but they are also going to be victimized, as we have been victimized, with unemployment if they don't reform their policies.
David, how do you feel about the fair tax issue? Of course, a lot of these Tea Parties were tied in with that and so forth, and it seems like organization is really starting on that to really start pushing. We've seen Missouri actually and vote for it in the House. According to my report, they didn't get it through in the Senate, but it's expected next year to pass both and maybe even written up with the governor's signature. So that's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Well, it has some advantages, but again, it distracts people from the focus, which has to be government spending. That is the true tax. Any tax system will work if government spending is under control, meaning it bears some relation to what's happening to the private sector that creates the wealth. And anything that distracts us is the type of tax system rather than the spending system is just asking for trouble, because the full-time legislatures, especially those in Michigan, there are only six of them outside of Michigan, would pay a full year round for these hideous legislators so that they can keep spending money. if you stop their spending, any tax system will be less onerous. I do think it would help in that vein, Greg, to have a part-time legislature, especially given the fiscal imperatives at this juncture. Otherwise, you can see what they're doing. They just keep spending and say, well, we'll get the money from the federal government, so we will be able to keep spending and building up these extraordinary legacy costs of health care and pension costs for government employees, including teachers. Those are already way out of line compared to the people who have to pay for them. It's not a, a durable, long-lasting, stable economic situation, and it will not last.
No, I believe you're absolutely right on that, too. David Lippman, thank you so much for spending some time with us. It's been a fascinating conversation. I imagine you've got several articles at Mackinac.org, the website of the Mackinac Center for Public Policy.
Yes, thank you, and you said it right, Mackinac.org.
Sounds good. Mackinac with a C. Sounds good to me, sir. I appreciate it. Good talking to you, David. Thanks for spending some time, and I know you're heading some travels, so I wish you safe travels, and we'll talk to you again sometime.
Great Memorial Day to you and your listeners.
To you as well, sir. Take care. It's 1270 a.m.